Okay, good morning. Lovely to see everyone. Just heard this rumor that we got some Australian under 20 rugby players in our meeting. Is that true? These guys, yeah, you guys from us? Ah, welcome. Okay. May the Lord be with you. Okay, yeah, it's lovely to be together today. Yeah, just always a special time as the body of Christ comes together. Last week we looked at the one another kingdom, and today I want to continue with that. Thank you so much. And yeah, we just really want to look at the fact that the way the Lord has designed us actually in the church, in the kingdom of God, is that we need one another. And so we live part of a world that doesn't grasp this. But you know, even in the animal kingdom, I want to tell you a little bit about wild geese. I'm sure many of you watch wildlife shows. When wild geese migrate, even in the way that they fly in like a V formation. And the reason why is because of wind resistance. So it makes it much easier for those that are flying alongside. So the guy at the front, or the goose at the front, would take all that resistance. But very much like our cyclists, they rotate leadership. And so the person or the bird at the front is not going to be the front the whole time. They're going to be rotating leadership. So as he gets tired, another one will come and take the leadership. And it's this wind resistance that they fly in. If a particular goose tries to fly alone, well, it's going to use much more energy, and it won't be able to actually sustain that long journey. And if one gets injured, two others will drop out of formation, and they will stay with the injured one until it recovers. And I thought that is really special as well. So we see in the animal kingdom something very similar to what we are called to be in the body of Christ. And so for these geese, they share the burden, they support the weak, they adjust for one another. And this is how we're called to operate in the church. So the church isn't called to what it so often has become, where it's just a bunch of people unrelated coming and filling a space and then going home and not seeing each other again until next Sunday. The church is meant to be like in formation, walking together, knowing each other, carrying one another's burdens. But, you know, we very much live as part of a world that doesn't do community very well. And so we've been trained, especially in the Western world, people are trained to think about themselves. So life is just about me, about individualism, self-advancement, recognition. People live for their own success, their name, their will to be done. And this is just not reflective of the kingdom of God that we are part of. And so when you come into God's kingdom, you have to start thinking of a whole new way of living, because we're actually called together. And it's like in any family, you're not called to people that are all exactly like you. It's going to be a family where people are different from us. But there's something of that the Lord likes. But this world that we're part of is actually really it's a fallen world. And so there's lots and lots of people on this world, and so many people are lonely. So many people walk alone. And the world is fallen like its master. And so in Isaiah chapter 14, I know I've used this verse before, but there's very few verses that describe the fall of Satan. But when he fell, this is what he said. And this very much reflects the heart of many people in the world today as well. You said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. So he says, I will, about five times. Yeah, Lucifer. But this is our generation. They speak like this as well. I will raise my throne. I will sit. I will ascend above. I will make myself like the Most High. And it's just, you know, in the Lord's Prayer, we are taught that it's not my will be done, Lord, but your will be done. And but yet in this world, people are living for their own will. And actually, you know, it short circuits, because all the good things you're wanting out of life doesn't actually come to you when you're living a self-obsessed life. You cut yourself off, actually, from all the good things that the Lord wants to give you through the body of Christ. And so, you know, in God's kingdom, we actually aren't the main focus. And that's maybe a bit of like a wake-up call for some of us. But we actually, Lord's planted us into his body, which is much bigger than what we are. And so we're living for something much bigger. In Ephesians 4:16, he says, in the NLT version, he says, he makes the whole body fit together perfectly. That's the Lord. He makes the body fit together. So if you're part of the body of Christ, the way he's positioned you, the way he's put you into the body, whichever community you're a part of, like the Lord is the one who fits it together perfectly. And as each part, that's as each one of us does its own special work, it helps the other parts to grow. So when we exercise our gifts, when we exercise the things that God's put in us, even in our personalities, it helps the body to grow. It's actually not for us. And so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. 1 Corinthians 12 verse 7 says, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. And that's talking about spiritual gifts in context there. But the manifestation of the Spirit is, it's another way of saying, like, when the Spirit's in us, it reveals, it manifests itself in a certain way, which is talking about spiritual gifts. But when that comes, when that is in my life, it's actually for the common good of those around me. It's not for me to be great. It's not for me to make a name for myself. So, but it's as we, all of us come together, we form the full expression of Christ. And then last week, I put a picture up. I thought I'd just refer to it again, just quickly. A picture of the colors of the rainbow. And really, this is very much, this is what it's like in the body of Christ. So when each of us is maybe one particular color, but when those colors overlap, it forms white light. Okay, and so really, it's just very helpful to understand that for me, as the leader of the church, I can't try and be all of those colors. God makes me one of those colors, so I can only express that one thing. But for the church to actually reflect God's glory, we all need to be participating. We all need to be bringing forward our gifts. For me, we see that in our community life. We see that in worship time. It's often when we see the gifts coming forward, people coming with spiritual songs, words of knowledge, prophetic words. But there's so many other gifts out there in the body of Christ. You know, people with mercy gifts, people who will help one another. When someone has a baby, like they'll make meals for people. When someone's going through a hard time, to go around them, to carry one another's burden. So all of these things, it helps us to express who Jesus is. And so not any one person can be everything. We all need to be the part that God has made us to be. And so when we do that, well, then the glory of God starts to shine. And in fact, Ephesians 3 verse 10 has something very similar about all these colors. It says, so through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might be made known to the rulers and authorities in heavenly places. So the church is us. And through the church, God's manifold wisdom is radiated. So that word manifold, it means a many-colored, richly varied, infinitely layered wisdom. So God's wisdom is full of color. It's all these things coming together. And so when we come together as the church, there's something very special about not us as individuals, but us collectively, is that we reflect and we radiate God's wisdom. And not just to each other, but even into the heavenly realm. I think it's just like an amazing thing. Even angels are looking down and going, wow, the church is amazing. On a fallen world, on a fallen planet, a broken planet, yes, the church, actually, when they get it right in unity, they radiate something of God's glory, which is really an amazing thing. And so, I always see it not just in terms of spiritual gifts, but even in terms of the way that the Lord has made you, your background, the things that make up who you are, the things that God has taken, where he's taken ground in your life, parts of your personality that make you you, all of that for his glory coming together is part of what he uses. And so last week what we did is we looked at Paul's life, and what I really wanted to show you is, although Paul was such a brilliant man, a brilliant theologian, he had such amazing understanding of God, when you read his writings very carefully, you actually see that he needed people. He would write about Timothy, please send Timothy. He would say things like, I'm sending Titus to you. No one carries my heart like so-and-so. And so he's got a team of guys around him. He says to someone, please come to me as soon as you can. Like, he really needs his team. He needs the body of Christ around him. But it wasn't only Paul who lived like this. So this week what I want to do is I want to look at John's life, and then I want to look at the end just quickly at Peter's life. Don't have the time to go a lot into Peter's life, but I want to look at these two apostles as well. So if you've seen The Chosen, that is the actor who plays the apostle John. I thought it'd be just good to put a familiar face up there. But the apostle John, and he was known as the closest of all the disciples to Jesus. Yet, as I start telling you about him and how he lived this out, this need of the body and knowing that it's not all about us, he didn't always start off as innocent and as pure as he later was. You know, when Jesus first meets John, just John and his brother James, he was actually quite a selfish guy, and he had quite a lot of an earthly mindset, which the Lord had to rebuke. He had to train it out of him. Him and his brother were nicknamed the Sons of Thunder. The only thing I can think of there is maybe they had big tempers. And we do see some evidence of that. There was a time when they were traveling with Jesus, and they came upon a Samaritan village, and this village did not receive Jesus. They actually stopped Jesus from entering. And we see that they actually, John and his brother James, they say, Lord, should we call fire down from heaven to come and consume these guys? Because how dare they reject you? They were very, very judgmental. Jesus was actually very patient and loved people. And so they were judgmental. They were actually also, John was very exclusive. There was a time that he saw another believer casting demons in the name of Jesus. And he says, reported it to the Lord. And he said, we try to stop him because he wasn't part of us. Wasn't part of our group. And Jesus says, don't stop him. You know, if he's for us, he can't be against us. And so, you know, we see just this exclusivity of John. And so he doesn't see the importance of other believers. He says, they weren't part of us. So like in his thinking, we are the whole work of God. Nothing like outside of our group could be from the Lord. You know, he hasn't yet grasped that God's work could be bigger than their circle. And then another thing that happens is that him and his brother James, they've got a lot of selfish ambition, and they send their mom to Jesus, and she says to Jesus, please, can I ask you, Jesus, to have these two sons of mine in your glory one day? Can one sit on your left hand and one sit on your right hand side? When the other disciples heard about it, they were furious because it was really just ambition and self-importance. They wanted to be greater than the other disciples. And so, okay, so we're talking about John and his understanding of the body of Christ. Well, he didn't start off very well. It was something that he had to learn as he followed Jesus, as he saw the way Jesus thought, as he saw the way Jesus lived, as he heard the teachings of Jesus, he started to change. And so the power of the kingdom changes him. His temper subside, his ambition and his pride seems to vanish eventually, his selfishness, his exclusivity, and eventually as an old man, he becomes known as the apostle of love. And I think that's for me, this is very encouraging because especially when I was a younger Christian, I didn't always feel like I matched up to what I'm reading in Scripture. Like, Lord, make me more like these guys. Make me more like you. But I don't always feel like that on the inside. And I've often prayed through my Christian journey. I've said, Lord, make me more loving. Help me to become more loving because I just don't think that I'm anywhere close to what I see here. You know, and I have to own that. And so I've often tried to like train myself, even in the way that I think of others, you know, the way that I see people, like, Lord, help me to see them the way that you see them. I don't want to just be a natural person who just judges people by outward appearance or all these things. Lord, I want to be like you, Lord. And so we see it happening for John, and it can certainly happen for us. And it might not happen all in one day. Might not happen in the moment that you get saved, but as we follow the Lord, He changes us. So I want to just include this to give us hope. You might not, even today, you might be going, I see some work of Christ in my life, but I can still see in my private moments, there's a lot of growth that's still needed. Well, keep going, keep following Him, because the Lord, you know, His word cuts us every week. In our quiet times, His Spirit convicts us, and we change little by little by little by little. And eventually, over a period of time, we see a big change. So there's lots of hope for us. Okay, so let's just take a dive into some of John's writings. And we actually see, like, he was called the Apostle of Love. And so 1 John chapter 4, verse 12, he's obviously much older now as he writes these things. And then he writes to the churches and he says, no one has ever seen God. If we love one another, he writes a lot about loving one another. If we love one another, God abides in us and His love is perfected in us. So, interesting. No one has ever seen God. This is the one thing that people want. We want to see God. And so maybe you could think, well, I would like to see God. So I'm going to go on a 40-day fast. I'm going to go to hire a cabin in the mountains where I don't see anyone else. No one's going to distract me. It's going to be me and God. But he's saying, no one's ever seen God. But kind of what he's saying is, if you want to see God, love one another. God abides in us. So especially, that's not in the world. God abides in His people, in other Christians, in other believers. God abides in them, and His love is perfected in us. So it's not, to see God means we don't have to become mystical and, you know, maybe try and chant certain verses over and over and over. I mean, it's good to memorize the Bible, but if He's basically, He's quite a simple teacher, very plain and simple. If you want to see God, love one another. And I do think this is something that we miss so often because it's so simple. Oh, it can't be that simple. Well, as we love one another, we start seeing something about God. There's something of God's Spirit in every believer. And as we interact with them, as we love them, as we take time out to get to know them, ask questions, allow who God is in them by Spirit to penetrate our hearts, well, we're going to start seeing more of God. I only see a certain angle of the Lord. You know, it's been described before, like God or His kingdom, it's like a diamond. Diamond is one thing, but depending on which angle you're looking at it, it's like it's a multifaceted. So it shines and radiates different colors. I think His body is like that. So you might have some in the body of Christ who are very strong. They're very filled with faith. You got others in the body who are filled with mercy. You got others in the body that have got different gifts. And so we need that. You know, you'll often find the guys that are full of faith maybe aren't as strong as the guys that are filled with mercy, but they need each other. You know, and so we learn from each other. Okay, so God's invisible love actually becomes more tangible in us as we love one another. So 1 John, he continues to write to the churches in 1 John 1:7. He says, if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. So he's automatically saying, he's seeing this. As if I'm walking in purity, if I'm walking in the light, my life is saved. There's no way that I can just stay isolated. It will result in me having fellowship with others. And so, you know, challenge yourself even. How much of your life do you interact with other believers? Do you treat everyone in the world as exactly the same as people in the church? Because you shouldn't. When you find out, Christine and I, we bumped into someone the other day, and I told, yeah, I remember now who it was, but I can't say, but okay. I bumped into this person, I was brand new, and I told them that I'm part of this church, and that I'm a Christian, and they didn't say, oh wow, I'm also a Christian. And so I kind of know that they're not a Christian, because any genuine Christian if they found out that you're a believer, there's something in them that would go, oh, wow, I'm also saved. You know, there's just this, you don't know the person from a bar of soap, but there's something of that Christ is in you, he's in me, is an immediate affinity towards one another. And when you're introducing yourself or you've mentioned that you're a Christian and it makes no impact on them, well, then I have to assume that maybe the light isn't in them. Not judging, just saying. That makes you wonder. And if it doesn't impact me that someone else is a Christian, well, I need to really look at my life. Like, why isn't it impacting me? Because if I walk in the light as he's in the life, I will have fellowship with one another. That's what John is saying. And so we can't claim to be in the light and ignore God's people. Now I'm preaching to those that are here. You're the ones that have fellowship with one another. But this is the way John writes. In 1 John 2 verse 9, he says, whoever says he's in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. Again, he writes it's very simple language. Eh? You don't quite mix up his words here. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there's no cause for stumbling. And so, you know, a verse like this is a very important verse. And when he says hate, I must say, even as a young man getting saved, I got saved at 16 growing up, I think when we're growing up, it's so easily say, oh, we hate so-and-so, whatever. And then suddenly I read this verse. Okay, you can't say hate anymore. So I just really, really, really dislike this person, you know. And so almost being legalistic, I'm not allowed to hate, but we'll tolerate all the other forms of not liking this person. But, you know, I think when the Bible says whoever says he's in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. I think there's varying degrees of this. And, you know, if you think about any of us, if we are tolerating within our own hearts, within our own attitudes, bitterness and resentment, there's a form, there's an element of darkness that is still in us. And you can't claim to be like really tight with the Lord when bitterness and resentment is in your life. I think for Christians, we can get hurt and we can have moments of these things, but the spirit in you won't allow that thing to stay there. And the only way it will stay there is if you harden your heart to the Holy Spirit and you start resisting him. Then bitterness and resentment can stay. But for a Christian, we have moments of falling in these things, but the spirit convicts us. I think of, other lesser forms of the word hate. When we devalue someone, seeing someone as less than, you know, these are things that we need to be thinking about. Where if someone enjoying someone's downfall, maybe someone that I don't know, that you just don't like, and sharing things about someone that will erode their reputation or ruin their reputation. Like, these are the things we must watch out for. The Lord doesn't want us to be those who gossip and break others down. And, you know, and he says, if you have some form of hate towards a brother being someone who is a Christian, a fellow Christian with you, well, then you're still in darkness. Or there's a measure of darkness that's at play in your life. But on the other hand, whoever loves his brother abides in the light. And in him, I really like this, there's no cause for stumbling. No cause for stumbling. When we walk in the light, there's no cause in us for stumbling. In other words, we'll be able to see where we're going. We'll be able to navigate our way. In 2 John 1 verse 12, he says, though I have much to write to you, he's writing to the churches, I would rather not use paper and ink. Instead, I hope to come to you and talk face to face so that our joy may be complete. And you know, this is how John writes. It's very similar. Paul wrote used similar language, saying, I want to see you face to face. I don't want to just write letters to you. I just don't want to hear from you from far. I want to be up close and personal. And again, I mean, Thomas did a plug for communities. One of the reasons why we're in community is because, man, we want to be with God's people. We want the influence of them in our lives, and we want to influence them with our life. And he says that our joy may be complete. There's something about a face-to-face that just brings God's joy into our lives. And so even as John becomes this old apostle, it is a well-known fact in like commentaries, they will tell you that that is a very old man. He would always be saying, my brothers, love one another. That would be the common thing that would come from his lips. You think how far he came from, wanting to call fire down on people and telling them they can't be part of their group. And, you know, all these things that you know, the Lord changed him so much. In his third letter, 3 John verse 4, he says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. And firstly, again, joy linked to God's people. He refers to them as his children. They're not just colleagues. They're not just someone that's distant, not just someone that he cares for in a distant way. They're his children. He feels like a father over them. But there's no greater joy for him than to hear that they're walking in the truth. And I was just thinking about how fellowship also isn't just that we are all in the same stage of life. Or that we all enjoy watching rugby. You know, our fellowship comes from the fact that actually we believe the same things about the Lord. We walk in the truth together. And so it's a very good thing to do, just to invest into one another and to, even in our discipleship, to seek one another out, to ask each other questions. What's God been saying to you lately? Tell me what he's been revealing to you, just even in your own reading of the word, in your quiet times. Like, what is God doing? Because as we hear these things from one another, it builds us up. As a staff, we have a tradition that has grown through the years. But every Tuesday morning, we get together, all the staff, with all the altitude students and all the RAF students, and we sit together. And we have a devotion together. And so often, just someone is picked almost randomly, could be one of the students, and they are asked to share devotion. And normally people are quite nervous to do so. But whatever they share, I always find, no matter, even if it's quick, if it's a new student, they might maybe share for 3 minutes. We've had some really short devotions. But then they'll be like, are there any questions, any reflections on what this person has brought to us? And you'll just see the richness that comes out of the room, because we are impacted by what the Lord has done in that person's life. What he has said to them impacts us. And we always leave that time feeling built up and encouraged. 1 John 3:16, he says, by this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and that we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. And so, again, there's something of the love of God working through him into God's people that John has really seen. He's impacted by God's people. He's impacted, and it's changed his way of thinking. It's changed his life. Now he's writing that we need to lay down our lives for each other. In the same way that Jesus laid down his life, we need to follow that example. We need to live lives where we make sacrifices for each other. We're not just living for ourselves. We actually, we're choosing another's good at real cost to ourselves. And again, for me, I often see that someone's going through a hard time, for us to not just ignore that person, but to carry them in prayer, to maybe meet with them, to encourage them in our discipleship of one another. Again, often a big part of our discipleship is that people are battling through life, and that we can sit with one another and we can pray with each other. We can bring scripture. We can say, this is what God says. I know you're carrying this heavy burden. Galatians says we must carry one another's burden. So, you know, let me pray through this with you. It could even be things like this, you know, and this is probably for all of us. We've all got certain blind spots. We've all got certain things that even character defaults within us that are not good. We make the wrong choices over and over and over. These harmful patterns in our lives. And part of carrying one another's burdens, part of laying down our lives for one another is even in love, coming next to one another and saying, this is what I'm seeing. Can I help you to change this pattern? Can I help you to try a new way? You know, the Bible talks about God's ways are greater than our ways. Our ways are, just so often they'll lead us into trouble. Well, let's learn the Lord's ways. But so often I can't learn it because I've got a blind spot and I need someone else to help me see that. And so for John, God's love isn't something that's just theoretical. It's easy just to say, yeah, I agree with what he's writing, but he's saying now we need to lay down our lives. We need to be willing to spend our energy on those around us, the Christians around us. And then the last thing I want to tell you about John is that he confronts individualism. And he actually writes about a church leader in 3 John verses 9 and 10, a church leader called Diotrephes. And he says, this guy, he likes to put himself first. And he's actually confronting this. He's confronting this individualism. He likes to put himself first, doesn't acknowledge our authority. He refuses to welcome the brothers. So he's got these issues. And he says, when I come again, we're going to talk about this. We're going to sort it out. But remember, the theme here is that we are designed in God's church. We are designed to need one another. And he has a church leader who hasn't caught this. And what is that? Is also John is an apostle. He's not just a saint in the church. He has authority over the churches. And this church leader is resisting him. And he's not acknowledging the authority and refuses to welcome anyone who comes from John. And the verse, I don't have it with me, yeah, but even if anyone else went after, try to welcome John, they would even discipline them out of the church. So this Diotrephes was really deceived in many ways. But this is not the kingdom way. And I was just thinking about, when he says they do not acknowledge our authority, he's talking about alignment with apostolic. And so just in a minute or two, just to say, us as a church, we're not an independent church, which means that we just do our own thing. It's just us elders with no outside influence. No, we actually align ourselves to trusted apostolic voices today. And so I use that word trusted apostolic voices because, you know, many people might call themselves an apostle, but a trusted apostolic voice is someone where the body of Christ in general, they recognize that grace on that person. They've been tested. There's a lot of fruit behind them. And Paul had this as well. There were people that didn't acknowledge his authority. But we are a church where we're going, the apostolic gift is still a gift today. The reason why Paul and John were apostles is because they would write letters to the churches, they would give churches instructions, corrections, guidance. Today, churches still need instructions, corrections, guidance. We can't replace the Word of God, but modern day saints who are graced with this gift and actually are recognized eventually as an apostle as they grow in the Lord, well, these are guys that we can trust, and these are guys who will bring other angles to things. They will, for us as eldership teams, we would often welcome guys like this in, and we do regularly, probably about a few times a year, we'll have guys coming in, and they will maybe at a gathering, we'll normally have an apostolic guy there. We've got a gathering coming up in June. Mornay van der Walt is going to be there. He's currently the guy who leads a lot of Josh Jen. And he will come and address us that day. And we will learn from him. Earlier this year, we had Ewan McCray, and he brought certain angles that was fresh for us. And so we learn from these guys. But, you know, so I think there's a lot of things about the apostolic that are very beneficial for us. Firstly, they point out dangerous teachings where we could easily veer off on our own. The apostolic leaders, they also confirm new leaders. So when we want to release maybe new elders, those would be the guys who would come and lay hands on them at our gatherings. Apostolic leaders would also come and they would sit with eldership teams and help us to work out any issues. Sometimes an eldership team can get stuck. And so again, this is part of this theme of needing one another. And so they would help us with these types of things, and they would help the saints to feel safe, because even a particular, like Diotrephes, one single church leader could block the work of God. Well, that could still happen today, where a church leader could fall, and he could try and stay in his position, and it could be bad for the whole church. Well, apostolic leaders could come, and they could fix that up, and they could work into that. But other things that would keep us, even as a church, that would keep us healthy, would be allowing other voices to come into us all the time. And so even within our own congregations, in a few weeks' time, I've got Eugene Murray lined up to come and preach here with us. That's going to be great. Craig Crummock is lined up to come and preach with us very soon. So I mean, you guys know the two of them. They were both part of this congregation. This year, we've already had Aunt Meek. We've had Toops. We've had Grant Baker's coming later this year for a few weeks. So, you know, these are the voices that we've got coming into us from the outside as well, just within the Oxygen Life circles. And then, you know, Brad and Ange are really the apostolic grace that we as a body would align ourselves under. And Brad is coming again this year as well. I think in June sometime he might, but he's coming for a quick visit, probably just for a few days. But it's very possible he'll be at our gathering. I'm not 100% sure about that, but around about that time he's gonna come in for a week or so. So we've got all of this, you know, and then I'll end off with just 2 minutes on Peter. I've looked at John's life. We look at Apostle Peter. You know, Peter also was, we know that Peter had a lot of like things, a lot of immaturities in his own character. But even later, just before the crucifixion, there was a time when Peter once said to Jesus, he said, Jesus, you know, even if all the other apostles fall away from you, I won't fall away from you. And although he was saying something in a sense quite positive to Jesus, there was a form of pride in it, a form of competition in his heart, even although he might not have even realized it. But it came from this like earthly mindset, like I'm better than the others. I'll be a better Christian. I'm going to prove it to you. And Jesus actually knew. And he said, Peter, like when the rooster crows, you would have already denied me 3 times. He didn't actually even understand his own weakness. But I liked what, well, this is what I want to share. So Peter, a lot of bravado. And for us, when we serve the Lord, we need to serve the Lord knowing our own weaknesses. We need to serve the Lord going, Lord, I'm actually not like as amazing as what I think. I need your grace. But this is what how Jesus responds to him. He says, Peter, you know, Satan in Luke chapter 22, he says, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat, but don't worry, I've prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And he would know that Peter's faith does fail momentarily. But he says, but when you've turned again, so Jesus sees what's going to happen. He says, when you've turned again, this is my calling to you, that you will strengthen your brothers. And so, you know, you can't just serve in your own zeal and your own strength. You need my grace. That's the first thing. And I don't want you to think of yourself as better than all these other disciples all the time. I'm calling you to use your strength to strengthen the brothers. That is your call. And so you're not going to live out your Christian life trying to be better than them. You're going to live out your Christian life trying to build them up. And you're going to live for others. You're going to look away from yourself and you're going to look towards my church. And so then we start seeing in his writings in 1 Peter 4, verse 10, Peter, and this is again, he's probably much older and more wise, more time for God's gift to and grace to flow through him. But he says, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another. And then he's pleading with the churches, guys, like, let's serve each other. Let's use the talents that God's given us, not for our own glory, but to serve one another. And then the last verse I'll end off with this is 1 Peter 5, verse 5. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility towards one another. In fact, Paul says something very similar, and he says, think of others as better than yourselves. And that's very, very opposite from what we have in the world. But clothe yourselves. So even think about the people in your community right now. Think about the people sitting around you right now. The Lord is saying, clothe yourself with humility towards those that are around you. In other words, don't think of yourself as better than them. Don't think of yourself as like superior. But consider how much the Lord values the person sitting next to you, the person in your community. How much does God value that person? You know, when we're broken and insecure, we're always trying to promote ourselves. This is the very thing. This is the very thing that caused the devil to fall out of glory. But we're called to live in another way, and that is to see the value of Christ within one another. And when we do that and we come together in unity, well, then we start receiving from one another, we start depending on each other, and all those colors start overlapping in unity, and the glory of God begins to shine.